This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to another episode of New World Next Week. Of course, you can find it at NewWorldNextWeek.com, which has high-quality, low-quality, audio-only versions for you to get out and download and share this show and help spread the word, such as ParadigmShift.tv for playing the show, and I believe, James, some of your other videos on the Sky Satellite channel.
That's right, but, yep.
Okay, excellent. We're going to begin with the most salacious headline, as there seems to be no shortage of tabloid headlines. So as long as we're going to go into it, we'll go into it. And I have this posted to MediaMonarchy.com. Markets go wild after IMF head Khan arrested for sexual assault. From the Washington Post, a New York criminal court judge denied bail to Dominique Strauss-Kahn, head of the International Monetary Fund, after he was charged with attempting to rape a housekeeper at a hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Strauss-Kahn, also charged with a criminal sex act and unlawful imprisonment, made his first courtroom appearance after being pulled off a Paris-bound plane in minutes before takeoff Saturday afternoon. Prosecutors had planned to bring him before a judge Sunday before deciding to delay a day so they could search him for physical evidence. Authorities allege that Strauss-Kahn, 62, attempted to rape a housekeeper at the Sofitel in Midtown Manhattan where he was staying. Police said she later picked him out of a lineup. He planned to plead not guilty, according to his attorney, Benjamin Braffman, who has defended a number of high-profile clients. The sexual assault charges cast uncertainty over global efforts to prevent Europe's debt crisis from spinning out of control and raise questions about the future of one of the world's most powerful financial institutions. At the Washington-based IMF, which makes emergency loans to struggling economies, Strauss-Kahn has been a muscular advocate for aiding Greece, Ireland, and Portugal as they have fought to avoid insolvency. A default by a developed European economy would shock the global financial markets and endanger the nascent economic recovery in the United States. The IMF on Sunday named Strauss-Kahn's second-in-command former banker John Lipsky as his replacement. I believe, yeah, Kahn forgot his phone. There's surveillance footage of him running. And this is, as we've come to you here on, it's May 18th here in the States. It's the 19th, the James in Japan. This is obviously a developing story. And as long as we're talking tabloid trash, we'll throw in the other related notes that, as the New York Post notes, the Sperminator won't be back. Arnold's love child bombshell spurred split with Maria. And James, hat tip to you for catching this related note. Yale suspends fraternity for raunchy chants from CNN months after video of its pledges shouting pro-rape chants went viral on YouTube. An elite fraternity chapter at Yale has been suspended. So as we look around and see all of these things seeming, as they all are, connected, it's the overarching idea that elites think they can get away with anything. And even the lawyer is involved in all the high profile cases, again, of high rollers and celebrities who think they can do whatever they want, regardless of laws. And in a way, they seem to be able to. It's also, I think, shows the pervasive nature of how these things are. Just as the torture in Abu Ghraib and all around is a top, it's an institutional part of it. I think these tawdry stories should shine a light on that. James, what's your take?
Well, I was reading an interesting article yesterday that was talking about the various problems that leaders of these types of organizations have had, including Wolfowitz at the World Bank and other people who have been involved in various types of scandals. But I'm always a little bit wary to talk about cases like this before they've even gone to trial, because it is innocent until proven guilty, and we don't know what happened. And I think it's also disrespectful to the woman involved. So I don't want to get hung up on the trashy side of it. And I think there's also the easy tendency to say that, what he does to women is what the IMF does to countries and things like that. But I think that muddies the issue. And I think the real issue is what the IMF actually does. And I think that's what's important. And we should base our criticism on that rather than on the actions of this person, reprehensible as they seem to be, given what he's alleged to have done. But also there's the other angle in this, which is that this conceivably, we don't know, but it conceivably could have actually been set up or staged or somehow manipulated by the Sarkozy campaign, because of course Sarkozy is behind in the polls to Strauss-Kahn, who seems that he was next in line to be president of France. And it seems that this story was supposedly actually broken by someone who's an activist in Sarkozy's party before the New York police had even announced that Strauss-Kahn had been arrested. So some very suspicious things going on there. And apparently 60% of French people now think that he was set up or somehow manipulated in this. So we'll have to see what happens. But again, I'm not so interested in that. I'm more interested in things that are happening with the IMF. And now IMF is actually calling for even stricter austerity measures from Greece. So their austerity plan to strangle the Western economy continues along apace, regardless of who's in the head position.
So that's interesting. I was not aware of those other developments. And again, that's I think why we come to you and try and share this information with folks, and to say that we don't try and act like we have all the answers, but we try and supply all the links for all of us to do more research. And I think it can just kind of safely be said that, just as we discussed, I think, in the Osama situation, regardless of what went down, the script that is being written by the elites, they decided to write bin Laden out of the script, and for whatever reason, they've decided to write Schwarzenegger and Khan, you know, to be demoted for whatever reason, however that may have happened. And as long as we're talking IMF and confessions of economic hitmen, we should also mention just a couple other economic-related posts briefly. The U.S. debt limit reached, government halts pension investments, both Medicare and Social Security for the first time spent more than they received. And there's also discussion of banning bitcoins. But we'll leave that for another time and move quickly to our second story that I have posted on foodworldorder.com. China's latest food scandal, exploding watermelons. This from the Murdoch-owned Wall Street Journal. China's food safety problems are exploding, literally. In the country's eastern Jiangsu province, a boom of watermelon explosions is turning otherwise peaceful farmlands into nature's perilous minefields, according to a report from China's central television. Watermelon bombs have long been popular with certain crowds in the U.S., including beach bums and Boy Scouts, who find bursting the fruit to be entertaining. But their presence in the Chinese market is causing quite the scare. The reason? China's melons are exploding unintentionally because of a chemical Chinese farmers have been using to promote faster growth in their fruit. According to a CCTV video report, melons treated with the chemical began to split near the top and within minutes burst open to reveal a jaundiced yellowish pink flesh. In one Jiangsu town, a watermelon exploded as an elderly woman was cutting it open. By spraying it on their crops, the broadcaster said the farmers hoped it would double their yield and help them earn more money. Instead, it has done just the opposite. Few fruit markets are willing to buy the melons for fear they will explode in transport. If eaten, the fruit may irritate human digestive system, the CCTV report said, citing a gastroenterologist, as I bumble that word, as I would also bumble the word of the actual chemical being used, but I do have that linked in to the notes on this post on foodworldorder.com. The other related note, James, also posted to Food World Order, China hit by a drought, central China hit by a drought as reservoirs become dead water. James.
Jaundiced yellowish pink flesh. Sounds good to me. Yeah, what do you say about this other than we are, I guess, are no strangers to Chinese food scandals, tainted food scandals, but they just keep coming, don't they? And now, I guess, in Japan, we've got the tables turned, and we're having radioactive rice and milk and other products. So there's it's just coming at us from all angles now, and it just continues to increase. And one of the only ways that you can be sure of what chemicals are or aren't being added to your food is to grow your own or to grow them, you know, buy them local. So again, it's as we've stressed time and time and time again, but need to stress over and over again, the only way to really take control of what you're eating is to take control of the garden and to do it yourself or to get someone to do it at the local level.
I think so. And again, more notes and more research will be inside there. And again, we'll implore folks, as James, you and I have said, and we've said here on the show, that anytime and every time it seems to come back to the food issue, that seems to be the issue that spurs the most comments and the most discussions from folks and positive and constructive ideas and thoughts, that I'll implore folks to go check out foodworldorder.com and to comment and share. And again, it's all about how we help each other. And we'll end with a good note. James, from the Toronto Star, filmmaker suing province and police over G20 arrest. Charlie Veitch, the wisecracking British filmmaker arrested under the so-called five-meter law during the G20, is now suing the province and police for $350,000. In a statement of claim, Veitch, age 29, is alleging his constitutional rights were violated in June when police arrested him for coming within 5 meters of the summit security fence. He was charged under the Public Works Protection Act, or so-called five-meter rule. Veitch, a self-described absurdist who also calls himself the Love Police, is also suing for a second incident that occurred 5 days later when he was arrested at Toronto Pearson Airport and charged with impersonating a peace officer. This article says personating a peace officer. Veitch was detained overnight and unlawfully strip-searched following both arrests, according to his claim. Both charges have since been dropped. In his statement, Veitch says police were negligent in failing to understand the law when they arrested him. He also argues the government violated his charter rights by passing a secret and improper law. The defendants named are the Toronto Police, Peel Regional Police, and the Ontario government. Veitch is seeking damages of $100,000 from each police force and $150,000 from the province. According to Clayton Ruby, Veitch's lawyer, his client was anguished following his arrests and has decided to sue as a matter of principle. Lawsuits are for money, but it's a way to make a stand, Ruby said. The government should not be allowed to get away with passing secret legislation. James?
Well, I don't know about you, but this story brought a smile to my face, and I'm just so glad that someone is trying to take these people to task for really trampling all over the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and just shredding it in our face, basically. It's kind of ironic that it has to come from a lawsuit from someone from another country, but there you go. And so hats off to Charlie Veitch for getting this out there and getting this back into the public attention. And hopefully it'll draw more attention to excellent documentaries like Dan Dix's Into the Fire, so people can go and learn more about this. Again, available for free online, and please buy the DVD to support the filmmakers. But absolutely, this is, I think, a positive story. Win, lose, or draw, it brings more attention back to this issue and puts it back in the spotlight and makes the people in these positions of power know that they will at some point have to face some sort of music for what they've done. The only drawback, of course, is that when you sue the government, who ends up paying? The taxpayers. So that's the downside. But what other way, what other recourse do you have for really making these people accountable for what they've done?
I think we should also point out, and we'll include this in the show notes, that these aren't the most recent unlawful arrests of Charlie Veitch. Am I right? He was just recently pre-crime detained in the UK before the royal wedding, right?
Exactly right, yeah. And he did an interview on RT. I'd suggest people go and watch about that. But yeah, he's got the footage up on his YouTube channel where the police come and knock on his door and basically haul him off because he's planning to do something at the royal wedding. So pre-crime is in effect in the land of Orwell.
And we'll bring this minority report to a close. James, unless you have anything to add, we'll draw to a close the 74th episode of New World next week.
I think that's it for me. Just stay tuned to CorbettReport.com, and I hope people will tune into MediaMonarchy.com this weekend for another episode.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.